we haven't played as well lately. I think there's been just kind of some opportunities missed on offense. And, you know, you look at the month as a whole and 500 in the month, and obviously that's not what you set out to do, but there's going to be challenging stretches, parts of every year that don't go as well. So this group has a capacity to obviously go on crazy hot streaks like we've seen, but also I think our floor is really high just with the variety of things that we do well. So it's never what you set out to do, but also acknowledging there's going to be hard parts of every year and just responding as best you can.
That was Nico Horner on with the afternoon show. And guess what? He's going to be on today. Nico making his weekly appearance with Spiegel and Holmes this afternoon at 2:30. This is Rahimi and Harris on the Score. We shift gears to talk a little Cubs because they finish up the month of June 500. They finished at 13-13. And I asked the question, is that good enough when you consider the Cubs are trying to win the division and they're playing a Cleveland team that just got beat pretty badly. They got swept by the St. Louis Cardinals over the weekend to the tune of 5-0, 9-6, and 7-0 on Sunday.
Yeah, rough times. The Cardinals have been shut out three of their last four. The Cleveland Guardians have been shut out in three of their last four games. Three straight losses, as you mentioned, Layla, to the Cardinals. And 13-13 doesn't sound great, especially when it's a team that you're expecting to do big things. But I would say this. If that's going to be their version of a June swoon, it's fine. Here's why it's fine.
June swoon usually means a good thing. Like, I need you to clarify that more, because
when I think of June swoon, I think of a bad thing.
Swoon, if you swoon over somebody, that means like you like what they've done. It's like, oh, I swoon over this decision that was made.
Oh,
like Bucks fans are like swooning over Miles Turner right now.
According to Google, swoon means to faint from extreme emotion.
Yeah, it's definitely June swoon is an old Wall Street adage referring to a potential dip or lull in the stock market during the month of June. It's been described in baseball terms for as long as I've been following baseball as a dip. But you are right in the whole swoon over someone, because that's an emotional thing.
I was not swooning over the Cubs June.
Yes, but the June swoon in and of itself is talking about a dip, like you take a precipitous dip, a fall. That's why when you said that, I was like, I understand what swoon means by itself, but June swoon in baseball terms has always meant a dip. As long as I've been following baseball, I don't know. I don't.
I think
the swoon sound like a good or a bad
baseball
word.
Almanac. The definition, literally, the falling apart after Memorial Day of a team that got off to a good start in April and May.
Do June you think swoon. That's what happened?
Yeah. Yes, they had winning months in April and May, and then they were 13-13. My point is, June swoon, if it's just going to be a 500 month and you're still going to be in first place and you're still going to be 14 games over 500, it's fine. I will accept that as a dip. 500 as a dip, it's not like you had a losing record.
Yeah, I feel you on that. I don't think it's necessarily, I don't see it as falling apart.
No.
But is it good enough? You can't have another 500 month and continue in a 6 month season.
I absolutely agree wholeheartedly. What I'm saying is, in the course of a 162 game schedule, in the course of a 6 month schedule, every month is not going to be great. We've seen it with a bunch of teams. The Dodgers had issues early. The Yankees just had a rough stretch. The Mets are, at last check, had lost 13 of 16.
The Mets did have some sort of June swoon. Like that was a fall apart. Like that is, they're talking like it's chaotic over there.
But they're still 11 games over 500, and if the playoffs started today, they would be in said playoffs. I think that's how you have to measure things. And we talked about this yesterday, so I wanted to present it to you.
Yes.
Because Russell, Mark Grody, and I talked about this yesterday.
Russell, who I'm seeing still people are talking about on the text line, how he went into a grocery store shirtless. This is what happens when I leave you all. The youngins are just running around doing crazy things.
He went for a run on Lakeshore Drive with his shirt off, got thirsty, went to the store to get water at the Jewel Osco, like a couple blocks from where he lives. But he did not tell us in telling the story about being asked to leave that he wasn't just sleeveless. He was actually shirtless. And we all said, what? You don't know? No shoes, no shirt, no service?
That's no like a, dice.
That's a pretty standard thing. That's a pretty standard thing.
Yeah, he left that key context out.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember how he got around talking about it specifically until the end. Because I think that at the end when he's telling the story, he says, yeah, the manager asked me that. He said I had to leave because I didn't have a shirt on. And we're like, what? You didn't have a shirt on? And somehow he had not told us that he had no shirt on. He just made it sound like he was sleeveless in there, and that's why they were kicking him
out.
Well,
and the reason I asked the question is because on the text line, who says 630, put on a shirt, you heathen. This isn't NOM. And I'm like, what is going on here? So now I found out. 224, how does she not know what June Swoon means? You're right. I know no sports. I will quit my job for you.
No,
I think. Are you happy? I'll tell you when I quit. You'll
different
be the first
words
to know.
Can have different definitions in different contexts.
Also, I don't cover teams good enough to have June Swoons. That's part of the problem. Would I cover teams that lose 100 losses in a row, 3 seasons in a row, like I did with the Astros, or I grew up a Texas Rangers fan, or I covered a 90-loss Phillies team, or I did White Sox pre- and post-game where we were in the trust the prospects era. Do any of those teams sound like I would come across that phrase?
You are listening to Raheemian Harris here on 670 The Score. That would be the voice of one Layla Raheemian.
You have to win to have to lose and then have it be an expectation.
If you come at the queen, you best not miss.
No, she I'll say back. I'll miss and then I'll be like, I don't know what that phrase means because I don't gatekeep.
I like learning things.
But that's how I don't know what June Swoon means. But when I quit my job, you'll be the first to know.
There are no things that are being gatekept around here, except we should gatekeep the idea that we should all keep our shirts on when we go into public spaces.
I will keep my shirt on.
That's a message for Russell Dorsey.
That's a public service announcement.
And
Russell,
so
Russell was going to make them swoon in the store.
That's what he was trying to do.
You can't out-sexy the law. A lot of people try.
You sure about that? You can't out-sexy the law? Because... It's happened. It has happened.
Oh, it is. But you know, certain rules for certain individuals, and that's another show.
I would also say legality is not greater than morality in my eyes. So there's that also.
I have a couple of issues just with the 500 record overall.
Okay.
At least for the month. Number one, you have, unfortunately, as much as you had money in the bank in April and May, you didn't earn enough interest with it in June. That was supposed to be a month where we thought you were going to add to your standings and your gap in the division standings by not just being like, if you told me at the point of July 1st that the Cubs would only be 2 games ahead of the Brewers, if you told me that a month ago, I wouldn't be happy with that. Because I'd be like, well, what the heck? The strength of schedule was weaker. You were supposed to have better output against certain teams. Injuries happen and this and that. Yes. So then I'm asking myself, well, what goes into that?
Well,
bench has to be better.
Yes.
Like, it can't just be relying on John Birdie, who I don't think is seeing a lot of time relative to how you want a playoff bench to be used. Some combination of Justin Turner and Vidal Brujan. Vidal Brujan is a pinch runner, just in that setting, in that sense,
John Birdie is a pinch runner. Yeah.
Right, but when you need their bats and you have to rotate your players as much as you do, and you do have offensive deficiencies at third, and also you're having to platoon at first, your bench has to improve. Like, they've got to include a bat in this trade deadline discussion at this point, in my opinion.
So it's interesting that you say that, because I've been scouring other teams' rosters, mostly bad teams, just trying to figure out people who might fit. And it's been a rough go. I'm going to be honest with you.
You got any more of those teams with a good player in the scratch your neck? You got any more of those bad teams with a good player?
Yeah, that's the key, because I can find good players. I can find bad teams. It's hard to find the good players on the bad teams and to think there's enough of them to go around. So you've got to be very selective in who you go after. And we've been spending so much of this conversation on pitching. It is time to shift that to who can help you off the bench? Who can give you a depth piece? Because heaven forbid if one of your good and productive starting position players went down. You just mentioned the names, right? They'd have to call somebody up from AAA to play every day.
Well, and again, we're talking about shutout losses that the Guardians suffered at the hand of the Cardinals, by the way. The Cardinals also did the same thing to the Cubs. Yeah, they beat them 8-0. The Cubs did the same thing to the Cardinals. They can't shut them out. When they beat them 8-0, when they beat them 3-0. But it's the 2-0 loss to the Astros where I get concerned. You know, that's one where I'm saying to myself, yeah, Framber Valdez did a great job as he tends to do, but there's a pattern that's emerging. You know, what are you doing to help out and use your bench in some of these scenarios where the strong lefties opposing, Yeah. Are you doing it? Are you having a situation where either you're not getting your starters and you don't have enough to get to the bench once a reliever comes in offensively? Like, there's a way to use your bench where you've got to have more talent out of it for these cases to prevent the shutouts from happening.
The 2-0 loss is interesting. One, because the Cubs went 1-for-9 with runners in scoring position that game. Two, because from a textbook standpoint, you just probably didn't do enough against Valdez to get him out of the game earlier. Once he got to the start of the 7th inning, and he puts the first 2 men on, right? And you're thinking, okay, here we go.
That was a pretty vintage performance out of him.
Yeah, so he does what he does. And here's where the issue is. Craig Counsell pushed the right buttons.
Yeah.
Because even though he had Turner, which you can argue whether or not he should have been in the lineup, he comes up with 2 runners on. They bring in Brian Abreu out of the bullpen. He gives you Michael Bush. That's who you want in that situation, right?
Yeah.
And he pops up. And then after that, it was, do you know what strikeouts look like? Because if you don't, I am about to show you for the next 3 innings or 2 2/3 at that
but
point.
But if I ask you on its face, like, do you think you have enough with your starting 9 and your bench to go toe-to-toe with a guy like that every day when the playoffs are the standard? I know it's an American League team, but when you do get shut out in those ways, you know, and you're seeing how it you're seeing the winning side of it where you do well when you win and you have that confidence. But then you see the other part of it where, for example, you're losing 2 out of 3 to a team that a lot of people thought was down and on the ropes, you know? That's the part of it that concerns me. You have to, as much as we focused on pitching, they're just not as good as we thought they were going to be offensively, sustainably.
We are talking about the Cubs' struggles in certain matchups, specifically pitching matchups, in this case against left-handed starting pitching. Stop me if you've heard that before, here on Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score.
We tried to tell you.
And
we tried to tell you early on.
It reared its ugly head early, and it's doing it late, and they continue to struggle against that, and that's why they need effective hitters against left-handed pitching.
And I think one, or at least if the starter is not who you're going to face, or you're going to do, if the starter is not who you're going to score your runs against, then you at least need to do more bench-wise. Just an extra bat would help just with matchups. It would help you wear down a bullpen. Because good teams, it's not necessarily the starter who they end up wearing down. You know, it's once the starter leaves the game, what are you doing to their pen? And that's where I feel like, in this case, the bench could be better.
The goal against any good team, and you know what? Strike that. Against any team, is to get to middle relief. Once you get to middle relief of a team, that's your best chance to get big innings. If you can't do it against a starter, knock them out early, and you know they have a good bullpen late, the high leverage guys, you got to find the lowest leverage guys you can. And the way to do that is get into someone's bullpen in the 5th inning, in the 4th inning. Get somebody gone after 4 innings. That's the sweet spot right there for the Cubs right now. And apparently they don't have much margin for error when there's a left-handed starter on the mound.
This segment is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. In the grand scheme of things, do we know that teams have lackluster months? Sure. The Cubs in 2016 were 14-16 in July. We forget sometimes that you are going to have that setback. And at least, if nothing else, if your 500 month comes before the trade deadline, you can still fix it. I would rather have this discussion now than have it in September.
We have to have it now, because if you don't have it before July 31st, and this is day one of the final month of before the trade deadline, then you're not going to have enough bullets to fire at other good teams. So I'm glad we're having the discussion now. We're going to have a whole month of discussing what do the Cubs need, who should they go after, and what should they be willing to give up. That's the basis of the next month of Cubs baseball, really.
I also just consider, we've talked, I mean, Justin Turner gets a lot of discussion from all of us, the listeners. We talk about it on our show, and even on the text line, for example, like 219. I agree with you, the bench is the problem, but Justin Turner was an absolute horrible signing. I think if you're looking at his contract in the lens of a playoff team who doesn't hinge as much on these mid-level deals, then his numbers by themselves are not as concerning, the money that they spent. But wouldn't you know, the Cubs are one of those teams that pays a little more attention to how much money they spend. And they, you know, a $5 or $6 million deal does become something where you're asking, what else could they have spent that money on?
Becomes prohibitive, right?
That's it. For a team like the Dodgers, it's nothing. You know, for a team like the Mets, it's nothing.
Clearly.
But on a team like this, it makes you wonder how much more they could have spent on the bench or in different ways. I also think, though, that you have to have your guys as a manager, the people who you really want on your team, who you think can help. We hear the Cubs all the time talk about how much they appreciate his presence. Players talk about what he means to them in the room. I wonder at times if Craig Counsell said, this is somebody we need with this group to help with this scenario.
I'll say it like this. The Cubs need more on offense and at position player on their bench than a James Johnson in the Indiana Pacers, than a Udonis Haslam in his twilight with the Miami Heat.
How dare you say that about Udonis?
You heard what I said. Look at Udonis Haslam's stats his last, say, 3 seasons.
How dare you diss on Get Ready to Stay Ready?
How many games do you think Udonis Haslam played in his last, let's say, 2 seasons on the Miami Heat?
I think given the Heat and Udonis's meaning to the state of Florida and the history that goes with one Billy Donovan, for example, at the University of Florida before that, this is a different discussion. Justin Turner being here for $6 million, you think about it because you know that the Cubs, that $6 million to the Cubs could turn into two different people, for example. That $6 million, wonder how much of that Mike Tauchman could have gotten.